How many American adults have a tattoo these days? A lot more than ever before. The Harris poll last November found that it's 3 in 10 adults. 3 in 10 adults now have a tattoo. And that's up from 2 in 10 only 3 years earlier. So more and more people are getting them all the time at a pace like we haven't seen before. And among those who have tattoos, 7 in 10 have more than one tattoo. Nearly half of millennials, that is the younger adults, have tattoos. Nearly half. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or a show of anything else from you all about who has one here tonight. But what do you think about it? And what do you think because of what the Bible says? Not because of what you've always thought, or because of what we've always thought, or what people are supposed to think, but what do you think because of what the Bible says? Well, a lot of Christians would say, well, I know there's something in Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. Does this teach us not to have tattoos? That verse says, you shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves. I am the Lord. Now, I'm thinking three things about this verse preliminarily. First, I ask, is this a general prohibition or a specific one? When we read, don't tattoo yourselves, would it include permanent tattoos and the kind I used to get out of Cracker Jack boxes and put on for a few days? Would it include drawing a line across your eyelid right here with something for a little while, or putting something here that makes your lips a little redder than they naturally are? Would it include all of those things, or just something that you would do that has a permanent effect on your body? And then when we're thinking about, is this general or is this specific, I can't help but notice the cluster of commandments where this one is found in Leviticus chapter 19. If you haven't opened your own Bible yet there, I want to invite you to do that. In verse 26 beginning, it says, you shall not eat any flesh with the blood in it. Now, they still had questions about that in the first century church, and that was something that was addressed in Acts chapter 15. Our lesson's not about that tonight. But then Moses writes, you shall not interpret omens or tell fortunes. You shall not round off the hair on your temples or mar the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cuts on your body for the dead or tattoo yourselves, I am the Lord. Do not profane your daughter by making her a prostitute, lest the land fall into prostitution and the land become full of depravity. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Do not turn to mediums or wizards. Do not seek them out, and so make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. And that's enough to read for right now. But what kind of cluster of commandments is this one found in Leviticus chapter 19? It seems to be things that are really going to make the Israelites distinct. Things that say, this is the God that we worship, the Lord. We don't worship your gods, your false gods. We don't worship the way that you worship. And it seems like, in the context then, that this is not just a general something thrown to see if it will stick, but it has to do with religion in their time. It was common in some religions for people to cut themselves in devotion to their God. You remember that happening in 1 Kings chapter 18 when Elijah and the prophets of Baal are engaged in that contest, and the prophets of Baal can't get anything to happen. There's no rain coming, so they start crying out, making all their vain repetitions, and one of the things they started doing was cutting themselves. That was supposed to get the attention of their God. We see all across ancient worship of false gods, prostitution like is named here. And then we're reading some very outright things about connecting with the other side or some other power. Omens and fortunes and mediums and wizards and all that. So you've got that kind of context here. It seems to me like whenever Moses writes, "Don't tattoo yourselves, I am the Lord," he's got something pretty specific in mind, and not just any mark that somebody would put on their body. Another thing, a second thing to think about Leviticus chapter 19 is, how would we decide which commandments still matter in this chapter? Now, this is a fairly lengthy chapter, and it's one commandment after another all the way through. And some of them are words that have meanings that are very meaningful to us. None more than what's at the end of verse 18. Leviticus chapter 19 at the end of verse 18 says, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Now, how important are those words to you? How important are those words to the Lord? When Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? You remember what he said, Matthew chapter 22, verses 38 and following. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and all your soul, all your mind." Mark says all your strength. That's the first and greatest commandment. And there's a second like it. "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And then we go on to hear the apostle saying the same kinds of things after the New Testament is put into effect at the cross of Christ. There's nothing more important between a person and God than love. And there's nothing more important between one person and another than love. Those words mean a whole lot to us. Verse 3 says, "Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father." That still means a lot to us, doesn't it? It ought to. And then look at verses 13 through 15 with me. "You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear your God. I am the Lord." Now that one will be special here in just a moment. But those all make sense. Those all have the ring of the way you ought to act these days, or they do for the most part. But then on the other hand, we give no credence today to what's found in many of the words in this chapter. For example, if we did, we'd read verse 19, and I don't think we'd plant our gardens the way that we do. Or maybe even our fields. You don't put two kinds of seed in the same field. And then I noticed one person that I know would be walking in here in sin. Jennifer Daniels, I think, had on her shirt like we all got at camp this year. And I see Alec wearing one from last year. Those things are made of two kinds of material. Cotton and polyester, a blend. Well, if verse 19 is something that we think we need to observe, we can't do that. We can't wear something with two kinds of material. And then we could look at verses 23 to 25 and know that we are eager to get fruit from anything that we grow as soon as we can. I don't know how long we've had those apple trees in our yard now, but the first year that there's an apple all the way to apple harvest time, we're eating it. Well, not if verses 23 to 25 tell us what to do today. You wait until the fifth year. You let it grow for 3 years. And in the fourth year, whatever comes off, that's holy for God. And fifth year, then you can eat that fruit. Now, what's going on here? Well, those of us who have been studying our Bibles for a long time know that this thing, number three, only those things that the Bible makes timeless or makes a part of today's testament, the New Testament, guide our practice. We could read a number of passages from a number of books from the New Testament that teach us that. I'll just read Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17 for an example. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. We can kind of walk backward through that. There's what's real, there's what's going to matter forever now, and there's the shadow that came before it. In the verse before that, well, what are some of those things that were a part of that shadow that was cast? Well, I read about a Sabbath, keeping a Sabbath. And we'd already read that as one of the commandments in Leviticus chapter 19. And you keep backing up, why can nobody judge me and say, you got to keep a Sabbath or else? Well, because something was nailed to the cross. That record of debt with its legal demands. Leviticus chapter 19 is not for us. It doesn't legislate anything for us. But if Jesus and his apostles tell us to do it, we do it. If they tell us not to do it, we don't do it. They said some of the same things, but they didn't say all of these things. And they didn't say what's found in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 28. Now, thinking again about this verse, where it is and what it says, if all of Leviticus 19:28 goes together, if it ought to be kept together, then it's about staying devoted to God, not to a false God. If it all goes together, then there would still be some legitimate reasons to cut a body, even back then. I'll take a show of hands now. How many people have ever had surgery? Did you sin against this passage? Well, no, because it doesn't apply. But even if you and I had had surgery 3,000 years ago, if we'd have been around, it wouldn't apply. Because what? This is a specific reason for cutting a body. And it looks like a specific reason for tattooing a body as well. Tattoos in general, I don't think, in Leviticus 19:28, were forbidden to the Israelites any more than eating leftovers was in verses 5 through 8. You go back and read that on your own. But they had offered peace offerings, animal sacrifices, and they could eat it that day, and they could eat it the next day. But if you ate it on the third day, you're sinning against the Lord, it says. Now, can we eat leftovers today? We can. Could we have eaten leftovers back then? We could, following God's commandments, but there was something specific going on there, just as there is in verse 28. So, the person who says that Leviticus 19:28 keeps every faithful Christian from getting a tattoo, I think needs to study it just a little bit harder and think about it. We would need to hear that from the New Testament. So then, let's consider. Most of the time, if somebody brings up a New Testament passage that they believe would absolutely mitigate against someone getting a tattoo, it'd be 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Let's read that together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Maybe you've memorized this. If you haven't, that would be a really good idea. It says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Boy, a body is a special thing. It's created by God, but then when you become a Christian, it's inhabited by God, in a way that other people's bodies are not. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul writes these things as he has been urging people in 1 Corinthians 6 towards sexual purity and warning them against sexual immorality. You want to be pure, don't you? You don't want to be immoral, do you? The Holy Spirit lives in you. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God, glorify God with your body. Now, specifically, that's what Paul's talking about. Because your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, you don't want to do that. Because you're bought with a price, you don't want to do that. Now, that does not stop us and should not stop us from when we see other commandments in the New Testament that have something to do with how we handle our bodies to go in here for reinforcement. For example, when we think about the works of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19 to 21, and fruit of the Spirit, verses 22 to 24, we think about self-control versus drunkenness. Does that have something to do with my body? Well, it sure does. And that's a time I need to remember. My body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. I ought to glorify God with it. Whenever I read about fits of anger being works of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19 and 21, and then I read about how the Spirit's influence in me is to be kind and gentle. Well, it's good to remember that my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I've been bought with a price, and I should glorify God. So anytime we find another commandment like that, these are good words to reinforce what we read. And then I individually, or you individually, might choose to do some things with my body, with your body. Or choose not to do some things with your body. Or I'll choose not to do some things with my body. Because of what 1 Corinthians 6, 19 to 20 says. I'll just make some personal applications and say, I want to honor God this way. And so I do that. They may inspire us that way. But they do not authorize you or me to make up rules for other people for what to do with their bodies that we can't find in the New Testament. We need to be careful about that. And there's no specific prohibition of tattoos in the New Testament. So Romans chapter 14, verse 4 says, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It's before his own master that he stands or falls. Well, is that all we have to consider then? Is that all? No, it's not. Take a look at this guy. Even if this guy had only put, I don't know, hearts and rainbows, stuff like that all over his face, could you say that he crossed a line somewhere? Even if it wasn't skinhead and swastikas and a skull right there, if he had chosen different words and different images, positive ones, would you say that he crossed a line somewhere? I think we all would. And why is that? Because other people have to look at us, right? Unless you're going to hole away somewhere after you get all these tattoos like this, other people have to look at you. Does that matter? Sometimes I see people who God made beautiful. And I see certain things they've done with their body, with tattoos and where they put them, and I just say to myself, "Oh, do you? Why? Why that?" Now, I said we don't go around making up rules for everybody else, but there are other people to consider. What do we learn from Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, if you are living under your mother and or father's roof, and she or he says, don't get a tattoo, do they have the right to do that? Just as much as they have the right to say, be in by 10 o'clock. Just as much as they have the right to say, don't eat that cupcake right before supper. Yeah, they do get to make the rules in their home. And if that's one of them, then obey your parents. Husband, remember what 1 Corinthians 7:4 says. Now, again, this is in the context of a sexual relationship, but it says, husband, that body of yours belongs to her. Wife, that body of yours belongs to him. What if you say, well, here's what I want to get on my body. What do you think about it? This is where I want to get it. If she says, yuck, if he says, please don't, then what should you do? Then you should refrain, because your body's not your own. We should think about how we affect fellow Christians. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. We shouldn't just be all wrapped up in ourselves and what we want and our own interests. We ought to consider others better than ourselves and think about their interests as well as our own. And then we ought to think about how we affect other humans whom we want to become Christians. Think about how we, as Titus 2 verse 10 says, adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Those are all things to think about. There's also modesty to consider. 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. There are all kinds of questions to ask yourself if you're considering getting a tattoo. Why do I want one? What will it say, or what will it depict? And why that? Where will I put it? And why will I put it there? And most of those questions have some kind of spiritual implication. They really do. Now, when I think about people with whom I have experienced the most who have tattoos, I'll tell you a few things. First of all, Walter Johnson. Now, if all you ever saw of Walter before he passed away was here at our assemblies, you might not have known Walter had tattoos. If you were in Walter's home, you might have known. You probably knew. Walter would always wear long sleeves here. Didn't matter what the weather was like. Some of us spent a lot of time in Walter's home, especially as he was on the downgrade in his illness. And I saw a lot more of Walter than I wanted to at his home. Not that I didn't want to be with Walter, but I saw a lot more of Walter at his home than I wanted to. But because I loved and wanted to help Walter. Well, on his arms, Walter had some tattoos. I don't know what they were. I don't know if you could tell what they were anymore. But they were old. They were really old. And if I was just having a guess, just by looking at it, well, when Walter was in the service, he got a tattoo of the blob on his arm. That's what it looked like. It had changed over the years. So it teaches you, if you get one, get ready to live with it. Especially, I think, tattoo technology has progressed since Walter got his. But it's not going to not look like that anymore so much as it would in Walter's case. Whatever it is, that's probably what it's going to be if you live to be pretty old. Now, I told some of you before, never going to forget this. One time Jessica and I were walking the halls of Medical Lodge. We'd been there to see a few people. And she got to thinking about 50 years from now. There was music playing on the speakers. She said, just think, 50 years from now, there's going to be rap music on those speakers, and there are going to be saggy tattoos all over this place. That's the case. We're talking about a choice that has long-lasting consequences when we get a tattoo. Some choices are not easily undone. Now just think, what if we were all stuck with haircuts or the kind of clothes that we wore way back at some transitional point in our lives? What if all the girls I went to with high school still had something on front that looked like this? You remember that in the 80s? But that's something that could be changed, right? That tattoo's going to be there, except by very painful processes, if they're successful. John and I studied some years back, many nights and many hours, with someone who at that time was aiming to be a faithful Christian. That's what he wanted to be, this young man. But he hadn't given a second thought to what was all over his arms. And what was all over his arms was something that never should have been on anybody's arm. You see, there are some things that we could have tattooed on our bodies that we shouldn't be walking around showing to anybody, and it shouldn't be there for us to see. Sometimes that content really matters. I guess most of the tattoos I see now are on the sports figures in the games that I watch. And I watch the Cardinals mostly, and many of the rest of you do. So here's Yachty. Every year, he comes back to spring training, and it's spread on his body. And this is not even the most up-to-date picture, of his neck. Now, those you can't tell from where you are with our lighting, but those are musical notes. Well, there are more of those now, and there's also an alien right up here under his ear. And then his arms, there's just almost nowhere left to put anything. Anybody watch the Cardinals game this afternoon? The Phillies starting pitcher looked like he had a long sleeve shirt on. I mean, it's dark white all of a sudden. Or like he had on white gloves with this dark sleeve. But it was all tattoos. And I don't know what his were. You can't miss Yachty's when you look at him. Now here's Matt Holliday. And I have wondered for a long time, what's this on Matt's big left arm? Big Popeye-looking left arm. That's been on there for a few years now. Found out it starts all the way up here. And I always thought it had looked like words, but I couldn't tell what they were. But then, would you know, on a broadcast last month, the announcers, for whatever reason, decided to tell what it said. And here it is. Job 38, verse 4. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. So I looked into that a little more and found a blog post where Matt wrote, I like the book of Job. Much of Job is about trials and struggles, but also about understanding that God is God and we are not. The tattoo on my arm is Job 38:4. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. And then in a video, I heard him say, I look at that and it just kind of puts me in my place. That's why he has that on his body. There's a video that the Post-Dispatch posted a few years ago. They'd been to spring training with the Cardinals, and they interviewed a few of the guys about their tattoos, and just about everybody has one. But they showed about a half dozen of them. Five of them had stuff like that on their body. Scripture, or something that made them think about God. And what do you think about that? What do you think about this? I feel like a monster. That's what Gabriel Marshall said to his dad. Gabriel was 8 years old when he had undergone surgery to remove a tumor from his brain. And now he had this big, conspicuous scar on the side of his head. You know what his dad did? He went and got a tattoo in the shape of that scar. And he said, well, now if they make fun of you, they make fun of me too, Gabriel. And that a picture of them together won an award in a photo contest with a foundation that's working to fight childhood cancer. So that kind of stuff will make you think. Well, here's the surprise ending. It's not on me, it's in the Bible. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. The Bible presents Jesus symbolically as a rider on a white horse. And as he comes out, the Bible says on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This after what the Bible says back in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus was giving encouragement to the church in Philadelphia, and it was a congregation that's all he had for, was encouragement. And he told them in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12, "The one who conquers, I'll make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven, and my own new name. I'll write on him," Jesus said. And then in the last picture, or the last chapter of the book, finally in eternity, at the throne of God and of the Lamb, his servants will worship him. Revelation 22, verse 4 says, "They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads." Now, true, that Revelation is symbolic. But you think God would use a symbol like that if having a tattoo is absolutely wrong in and of itself? I just can't see how he would. The truth is, symbolically, if you're going to heaven, you're getting a tattoo. Jesus will give it to you. No one will have to ask you about it. What's that say? Or what does that mean? It won't be a sign of your individuality. You'll be glad you have it. You never will regret it. Now, I don't think God would paint a picture like that if it were absolutely wrong to get a tattoo. But I'm still going to hold out for that one that he puts on my forehead. You make your decision. But honor God with what you do. Honor Scripture with what you do, with your heart, with your mind, with your soul, and with your body. This is going to say you belong to him forever. Do you know you belong to him tonight? Would he say that you belong to him? Jesus said in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of, into the ownership of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I commanded you. Behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." You could belong to him tonight in the most special way if you'd be baptized. And then you keep showing that you belong to him by obeying those things that he commands, not thinking that anything's unimportant, not thinking that anything can be overlooked, not thinking that just a little won't hurt. You aim to obey everything that he commands. And you realize when it's just not going that way in your life, it's because of your choices, that he still wants to own you. You can still pray to him, and that blood that washed away your sins when you were baptized will cleanse you now if you'll confess your sin to him. We want you to have the opportunity to be baptized tonight or to confess something that you need to confess, and that's why we're singing this song. So if you need to come, will you, while we stand and sing?